91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Today's an At Your Service edition on the topic of consumer protection. It's easy to feel in the lurch after realizing you've been defrauded or led astray by false advertising. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. But getting justice from disreputable parties may be easier than one thinks. On board and at your service today is the Miami-Dade consumer advocate Holly Beth Billington, as well as Miami consumer protection attorney Michael Schiff. We'll learn more about tightening consumer laws and how the road to arbitration of disputes is now made easier. To ask a question of the experts, call 800-743-9576. Topical Currents up next after the news. And we return. It is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman.
We now begin an At Your Service consumer protection program. We'll be taking lots of calls, of course. Our number, 1-800-743-9576. In the studio is the Miami-Dade County consumer advocate attorney, Holly Beth Billington. She's been in office for nearly 2 years, and it's her job to represent the many consumers of the county.
Yes, that must be a bit daunting. She's a Harvard Law School graduate as well. And also with us is Miami attorney Michael Schiff, who practices consumer protection and has taught consumer law at both the University of Miami and St. Thomas Law Schools.
We just want to say that although our guests are consumer advocates for Miami-Dade County, fear not, much of what we'll talk about is applicable to the rest of South Florida, and you can contact either them or the Consumer Protection Agency in your own county, but there are many issues we're going to be discussing that are protected by the state and or the federal government. So, with that, we'll begin.
Once more, the phone number, maybe.
1-800-743-9576. If you have a question about something that you need protection on, 1-800-743-9576. Email is radio@wlrn.org. So, Holly Beth Billington, we'll begin with you. It seems there have been several developments in consumer protection over the last year in Miami-Dade County. Could you tell us what some of those are?
Well, specifically as to the provisions of the Miami-Dade County Code that are enforced by our office, we did amend the misleading advertising and unfair and deceptive trade practices provisions of the code to basically address quite often when a product or service is advertised, it's advertised as having certain benefits or uses. However, there's fine print, there's conditions, there are limitations which materially affect whether or not that product or service will be beneficial to you.
So
in
give
actuality.
Us an example.
Well, one of the recurring situations we had were with hurricane doors. We had a situation with a merchant in North Miami. They would advertise, and most of the complaints we got were from senior citizens. They would advertise doors for being hurricane-proof doors. You know, down here, everyone wants to get something that's going to help them with their hurricane insurance and help, you know, protect their home. And so they'd advertise these particular doors as, you know, when your home is inspected, they will be considered hurricane-proof. It'll help you with your insurance payments. However, then they would say, well, do you like that decorative panel of glass? Oh, that looks nice. Well, unbeknownst to the purchaser, that once they got that decorative panel, the door was no longer hurricane-proof because of that decorative panel of glass, which was not disclosed. It was that it would affect the hurricane-proof status of the door. So that's one of those situations where now with the amendments to the ordinance, it's materially affecting the advertised benefit and use of the product.
So somebody that got the nice-looking door that was no longer hurricane-proof, the recourse they had was...
Now we actually have recourse in that situation because the merchant has advertised something as having a benefit, which, due to them selling the door with the decorative glass, it no longer has that benefit because it's no longer a hurricane-proof door. Once you have that little decorative piece of glass.
Right, right. So the solution is that they give them another one that is hurricane-proof?
Correct.
Okay.
Michael Schiff, tell us more about online business checks. Is that a good idea to check out people that you may be employing either in the Yelps or site jabbers and things like that? Are they really effective?
They are. However, you have to also be aware that you might have associates of that business or that individual who are running good reviews, and that happens a lot on TripAdvisor. I always like to talk to people who have used that service or that individual that I know, or I will go by. Let's say I want to put on a new roof, something like that. I see you've used this company. Do you like them? Talk to the homeowner. If you can't, and I understand, they're as better a source than if there's nothing available.
I noticed on Amazon, lots of the reviews on those products, a reviewer will say, I received the product for free, but this is an unbiased review. It's a little shady there.
Or if you buy a Sears washing machine, maybe you can talk to someone about that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, one of the other things in that same vein that we encourage members of the community to do is to check with the government agency which licensed the business. I know Michael just mentioned a roofer. So maybe if you're considering someone and you don't have a neighbor to talk to and there are not a lot of reviews, contact the building division to see whether or not all their licenses or permits are in order. Similarly, if you're considering a motor vehicle repair shop or using a towing company or a moving company, you can contact our office to see whether or not this particular entity has the necessary licenses and permits to operate in the county.
And on top of that, if I could just interject, the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer, which is at freshfromflorida.com, has a list of consumer complaints. And if you really want to triple check, and these are individuals who I think are objective in terms of they really had a problem, you can check on that, as well as other departments in the state of Florida. For example, Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles regulates auto dealers. And if worse comes to worse, you feel something's not quite right with this auto dealer, they have a list of complaints. Also, the Florida Department of Legal Services, which is also known as the Florida Attorney General, that's Pam Bondi's office, myfloridalegal.com, you can check on there. So there are sources in addition to these online lists of, like TripAdvisor, that type of thing.
When you say that if you have trouble, if you think something's wrong with a car dealer, like give us an example, like what kind of things?
A lot of car dealers do what's called spot delivery, where they will try to sell you the car on the spot and tell you that the financing will work and you don't have to worry about it. They'll have you sign blank documents, maybe tell you that this is the financing or lease arrangements for the purchase or lease of that, financing or lease of that car. And you give your trade-in in, you're real happy, you get the keys, you drive it off. Always within a week, maybe 2 weeks, someone will call you up, usually from the what we call the F&I, the Finance and Insurance Department, the F&I guy, and say, you have to come in. Why do I have to come in? I thought we had a done deal because I signed the installment loan contract, the leasing contract, whatever it is.
Right.
But you still have to come in. Your financing fell through. This is the new financing. Take it or leave it. Well, I thought we were already satisfied that I gave you my trade-in. I put down a down payment.
And he has a copy of the contract.
And he has a copy of the contract. But they put in there, and there's actually a form called spot delivery agreement, similar to that form that I gave you in that book over there. Then usually the individual doesn't have much of a choice.
But if you hang tough, say, okay, come and repossess the car. I bet they give you your old agreement.
No, then they'll repossess the car. Then they'll
then
get their turn.
Nothing.
Then you'll really get into things. But if you go in front
of
a judge.
Your credit shot.
Not necessarily. I mean, it's aggravating. Sometimes it's better to say, let's get the financing accurate. I will wait. And if not, then you let me know when you have everything together. And then you go in, you make your down payment, you give in your trade-in, and you know for certain that's it.
Well, you said when we were talking before the show about leasing arrangements, how they say, you know, $389.20 for your lease, and you go in. We'll talk about that, how what we're supposed to do as opposed to that.
When they give you a monthly payment, whether it's a financing or leasing, you see this constantly on TV, and I hear it on radio, and it drives me crazy. $339 a month. They've already built in their profit on that purchase of the car, as opposed to negotiating it, you figure out either through Consumer Reports, which has a very good online service, as to what that car should really price at. And you come in with all your information. You say, I want to purchase a car right now. I do not want to finance it. I do not want to lease it. I just want to buy it in cash right now. Fine. Once you have achieved a negotiated price, whatever that price is, then you say, oh, I changed my mind. Now I want to base the lease or finance payments based on that negotiated price. A lot of times they won't like it, but that's the way you should do it. Whether you can get away with it, who knows, because the salesperson can say, we don't want to do it. Goodbye.
Yeah, right.
And that's happened to me, and I go, fine, goodbye.
Again, our number, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. Email is radio@WLRN.org. David writes that his boat was damaged due to the fault of the marina where his boat is stored. The marina fails to take responsibility for the damages. The contract I signed states the marina is only liable for gross negligence, and this is hard to prove in court. Is there a way I can find out who their insurance company is and make a claim direct to their insurance company, or do I have any recourse?
He may. I don't think the insurance company is going to deal with him, but I would more find out. First, I would get my own expert, my own boat mechanic, to look at it to determine what really is going on, because insurance companies are notorious for turning down everything. Mm-hmm. Not, we're not going to pay it. We're not going to cover it. He's got to get his ducks in a row by making sure who did it, where was it done, which may be impossible to find out. Get his own expert to look at it, and then if they don't want to deal with it, you can hire an attorney to write them a letter or file suit in court. It's not an easy thing.
We're going to talk all about arbitration, but just about this, how do we know, how does somebody know when to get an attorney, a private attorney, or when to go to small claims court?
Well, one of the great resources we have here in Miami-Dade County is that the Dade County Bar Association has a free legal line every Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month. And so quite often, if you're not sure if an issue may be something you can deal with in small claims court and represent yourself, or if it may be more complex and you're looking at a claim which would put you into the county or circuit court, you could very well take advantage of that service. It's the first Wednesday of the month.
And what is that?
It's you call up. And they have a legal line. It's on the phone number is on the Dade County Bar Association website. If you go to Google and just type in Dade County Bar Association legal line, it's a 1-800 number, and they're open the first Wednesday of the month from 6 to 9 p.m.
And Broward and Palm Beach.
And they may have something similar for the county bar associations in those areas. But if you're not quite sure about whether or not the venue for the issue or how complex it is, that's a nice place to start off first. Also, our office that has a consumer mediation center, we have 6 Supreme Court certified mediators on staff. We have a hotline that's open Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 5 p.m. So you can call our office and we can give you, if it's not something that our office can handle for you in terms of mediation, we can give you the contact information for the DCBA legal line.
It's Topical Currents at your service. We're talking about consumer protection today. We'll take a short break and be back with more. And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, Miami-Dade consumer advocate Holly Beth Billington, and Miami attorney Michael Schiff, who practices consumer protection. Our number again, 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. Email radio@WLRN.org. First up, we have Mark in Miami. Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have an unusual situation, and I'll keep it as succinct as possible. I own a diesel BMW, and when I started taking care of the car, their magical, wonderful 4-year warranty was over. I encountered an unusual thing. There's a special fluid in diesels called DEF, which is like a urea cleaner that's injected into the engine to clean the exhaust. Basically, an extra fluid you have to take care of. I followed the user manual, filled it in with the amount, which was a little below a gallon, and went on my merry way. About a year later, I started getting errors and warnings from the computer, from the ECU. Took it to the dealership, turned out I had done about $4,000 in damage by misfilling it. It needed something like 5 gallons instead of less than one. In comparing the shop manual to mine, that's how me and the dealer realized that that was the problem. I went round and round, obviously not the dealer's fault. I went round and round with the importer, and their assertion was, hey, there's a little thing there that says that we prefer that you bring it in for service to a shop as opposed to doing yourself, and therefore, since we don't know what you did, we're not responsible. I'm trying to figure out what my best approach to this is, short of, you know, civil liability.
Michael?
It's a tough case because I don't think that it fits under the Florida Lemon Law. The best would be to get your own mechanic to look at the car and make sure that's the reason why you're having the problem. And if it is, and if the warranty says that you're not covered because of what you did, you're going to have a tough case.
Gotcha. And it actually does. The actual cause from the BMW dealership was, you know, damage done as a result of that fluid running out, right? And I have actual copies of the user manual relative to the service shop manual showing a 700% discrepancy between one and the other, what it says to refill it. I don't know if my best approach is to go through the environmental angle, where this is an emission. Basically, I drove around for a year spewing out NOx.
You don't really like his chances very much.
It's a tough case. Again, we got to get going, but the best would be to hire your own competent mechanic to determine if that's the reason you're having the problems. If it is, then it's a tough case. Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
And we'll move along to David in Plantation. Hi there.
Hi, David.
Hi. I had a comment on something that one of your guests just said about buying a car. Just a little background. I practiced law for over 20 years, and I was in car sales for the last 7, although I'm not doing that now. But he said negotiate the price of the car first and then negotiate the rest of it, your financing or your lease, and he's just wrong about that. There are different incentives that come out every month from the manufacturer, and the incentive for a purchase is different than the incentives for leases. So he's comparing apples to oranges. If the incentive is $4,000 discount from the manufacturer on the purchase price of a car, that $4,000 incentive may very well not be there and usually is not there on the lease of the car. The lease is going to have very different incentives, having nothing to do with that purchase price.
Okay, Michael?
What I meant is compare, in that when you have the negotiated price, compare it to what the lease price would be. And if it's better, the lease price, then go ahead and do it.
Okay, we have an emailer, and this is something we wanted to get to anyway about collections. Bruce had a medical procedure last year. It was turned over to collections. He asked the collector for specific information on the debt, date of service, provider, etc. 2 months ago, but they haven't responded. If the collector cannot provide documentation, am I still obligated to pay him the debt he's billing me for? Well, do you owe the debt, Bruce? I mean, that would be, right?
It could be like a Sears. Okay. You still owe the debt, and then there's a difference between having the legal right to collect it and owing the debt. They still have to come back with an answer to your request before they can collect it. You still owe that debt. So there is a distinction there.
Okay, so he owes it, but they have to give him that information?
Until they give him that information, they can't collect the debt.
Okay.
We're getting close to tax time. How about some advice for filing your taxes and avoiding identity theft? Some people, you might file your tax return to find that someone else has already filed for you to try and get your refunds.
And that is a very, that happens quite often. It happened to me last year. So I was a victim.
It
happened to me.
Oh.
Yes. I filed it online, and for whatever reason, maybe the service had been hacked. Someone filed my 2014 return. But thankfully, the IRS caught it before any refund was issued because there was something about the filing which didn't seem like me. I'm thinking because they filed pretty early because I'm always one of those last-minute people around April 1st.
That's funny you say that because we had on people on the subject of identity theft, and one of the things they suggested is that you do file early to avoid getting your identity stolen.
Exactly, and that was a lesson that I learned because mine was stolen last year, but now because it was stolen, the IRS, I have to go in person now. So even though I can do the forms online, I have to print them out, go down to the IRS office and present identification, a specific PIN in order to file my taxes. But it's something that, you know, don't wait until the last minute. Once you have your W-2s and you're ready to go, go for it. Because you might end up in a situation like I did last year where someone decided to file a tax return using my social.
Michael, let's talk about arbitration because that's something that you write a lot about. First of all, what is an arbitration agreement and is that different from binding arbitration agreement?
Most arbitration is binding in that if you have a contract for purchase of a particular good or a service, it can be a credit card contract, it can be a loan, it can be a washing machine, it can be whatever you want, a car. There is a clause in there that says you agree to waive your Seventh Amendment right to a trial by jury, and you are now allowing the contractor, who whatever the business, the individual, to take you into an office building and have one or three individuals hear your case, no discovery, no rules of evidence, and they will tell you whether you win or not. Most of those decisions are never published, so you can't research how did American Express arbitration cases go. You can't do it.
That's part of the deal.
And it's binding.
So, okay, most of us don't read the fine print on contracts.
Really?
Really. And even if we could, the language is usually so arcane and legalistic that you can't understand it anyway. So then what do we do?
If more people would complain and say, I'm not going to sign this, a lot of companies then would give you an option to say, if you don't want arbitration, fine. If you do, fine. There's few benefits for it. Usually the length of time in terms of getting decision is a lot less than it would be in court.
Okay.
Court's usually 2, 3, 4 years before you actually go into a jury trial. However, there's a lot of negatives regarding costs. There's been a lot of debates about the arbitrators themselves, whether they're objective or biased, because if a particular company is hiring them and they rule against the company, they may not hire them again.
Yeah, they may not have a job.
I know Senator Al Franken and what's the other gentleman's name? Representative Hank Johnson are reintroducing the Arbitration Fairness Act in Congress, and that would make it optional as to whether you want it or not. I told you beforehand, I just renewed my gym membership, and a lot, these are the problems that I face, that it's a take it or leave it situation. If you do not want that arbitration clause, we won't give you the gym membership. If you want to buy that car with the arbitration clause, we're happy to sell it to you, but you cannot delete it. And a lot, I've tried deleting it, and the salesperson gets hysterical when I start even putting a red pen on anything. So in answer to your question, if more people would challenge them and say, we don't want it, then they decide to perhaps make it optional for individuals.
But in the case of a car, you're not signing away your lemon law right, are you?
Correct. You are not signing your lemon law rights because it actually is in Florida Statute 681 that they cannot go to arbitration. And that's one of the best arbitrations out there, the Florida lemon law. I was an arbitrator. Obviously, I'm a consumer protection attorney, so you know where my views go. But I called them as I saw them, and it's very pro-consumer.
What is the latest on the lemon law in Florida now?
Oh, pardon, lemon law? Well, our office actually, unfortunately, we don't, when we normally receive cases with regards to dealership purchases, we tend to forward those up to either the
Florida Attorney General's
office.
They monitor that.
They're the ones who monitor those. But I don't believe, were there any recent changes to that, Michael?
No.
However,
the legislature's in session right now, so you never know what can happen.
We're at your service today on Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman, Joseph Cooper, and Holly Beth Billington, and Michael Schiff. We'll take another short break and be back with more.
Welcome back to today's Topical Currents, talking about consumer protection with Holly Beth Billington. And she is an attorney and the Miami-Dade County Consumer Advocate. Also, she supervises the Consumer Protection Mediation Center. Also with us, Michael Schiff, an attorney practicing consumer protection and eminent domain law, and also has taught consumer law at the University of Miami and St. Thomas University Law School. We have an emailer, Francisco, handed undamaged furniture to a moving company. They trashed the furniture, delivered to his new house broken. Insurance offered him $400. The repair was estimated as $1,000. They said that was the only coverage. Sorry, what are my options? To either have them fix the furniture that they broke or shame the company so others don't use the company? Okay, Holly.
Well, first of all, our office actually enforces the Miami-Dade County Moving Ordinance, and that covers moves both within Miami-Dade County or moves originating in Miami-Dade County and then folks going up to Broward or Palm Beach. So it's essentially a tri-county ordinance.
Okay.
So I would suggest that the individual, if he can, either contact our mediation center at 786-469-2333 or email us at consumer@miamidade.gov.
Is that only for licensed movers, though? What if somebody gets somebody off Craigslist who happens to come over?
And that's the other thing. We also, you know, these movers, even if they are on Craigslist, the moving companies are supposed to be registered if they meet certain requirements. And so that's something else that we can investigate, whether or not this person is operating legally within the county. So,
do you have the power to close them down if they are?
Well, our office doesn't have... We're not like the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. They have law enforcement authority. So after a certain number of violations, DOACs can actually chain up a business and shut it down. However, we do have the authority to take the business to court, file suit, and we can get penalties up to $10,000 per day of violation.
Let's give the number again. The hotline is
786-469-2333.
And the email?
consumer@miamidade.gov.
Okay.
You want me to give the websites
Yes.
for the federal, state, and local agencies? FTC, which prevents fraudulent, deceptive, and misleading practices in the marketplace. That's probably the oldest consumer protection agency in the country. Stands for the Federal Trade Commission, FTC.gov. The latest agency on the block is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, consumerfinance.gov. That was created as part of the Dodd-Frank financial overhaul rule. And they are going after a lot of different companies, mortgage servicers, student loan servicing, debt collection, credit repair, credit cards, title loans, pawn shops, car dealer financing. I know they've been given a lot of money and they are making a dent because a lot of corporations want to remove the head of that particular agency. It is, I think, the most effective federal agency that's out there.
So that's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
consumerfinance.gov. That website's got a lot of information on it.
Okay.
Scammers and con artists really like to play on people's emotions and hit you where you're emotionally involved. And I was looking about this kind of a new scam going on with online pet medication. And you'll maybe order a pet drug once and they put you on an automatic shipment that you can't stop and scam you that way, or the drugs actually are no good. So it's something that if you're thinking about trying to save money on veterinary and bills, you might want to think twice before you just order from anybody online, Michael.
And to remedy that, I would contact the FTC because I'm sure that's not just in Florida. It's probably throughout the country. They probably have seen that and they're probably jumping on it. I can't remember the actual FTC administrative rule, but there is one on internet marketing and internet mailing.
And also things of that nature. Related to that, in Miami-Dade, we have a negative option contract ordinance. And so even though the people think there's certain things that the company is required to disclose before they can say, no, you've agreed to future purchases, we're sending this to you monthly, things of that nature. So they should also contact our office so we can see exactly what the advertisement stated, what if anything, that you signed or e-signed, so we can see whether or not there was a violation of the negative option contract.
I've had that option that happen, and your credit card company will go after that and take it off your bill.
Right. Yes.
So if you're going to buy something online like that, make sure it's on credit card, I suppose.
Also, there is, for all the consumers, this is throughout the country, there is a handbook called the Consumer Action Handbook. That can be purchased. It can be mailed to you for free on USA.gov. And it lists all federal, state, and local consumer protection agencies, corporate contacts to cut red tape in case you purchase something and you want to talk to the right person in the right department of that corporation, as well as self-help guides in it. It's a great booklet.
It is. We have one kind here. We have two
gifts.
About
150 pages.
Yeah. It's a gift in case you have trouble with any company, with any corporate concern, or everything else Michael just mentioned.
And if you do need a consumer protection attorney, I belong to the National Association of Consumer Advocates. Our website is consumeradvocates.org, which lists consumer attorneys throughout the country by state, city, and topic.
Okay.
And the great thing about that consumer action handbook, we also use it quite a lot in our office, because quite often we get calls for people who have issues that should be referred to different agencies. If you don't want to wait to get it in the mail, you can get it online at USA.gov as a PDF, so you get it right away. Right. So if you don't want to wait to get the physical book, you can just download it as a PDF.
And back to our callers, this is Luis in Kendall. Hi there.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I hired a public adjuster some years ago to bring a claim to an insurance company about Hurricane Wilma. This guy took my case, and soon after he reported to me that, you know, the insurance company was denying the claim. So they hired for me, they referred me to a legal office based in Coral Gables, who took my case. And at the end, there was a final judgment against me that was based on that I didn't comply with my minimum obligations as a, you know, as a claimant. And everything I did was following the advice of these attorneys that, for example, they advised me not to attend any of the three requests for having
inspection?
A declaration on the oath that my wife and myself, we should attend. Every time I received this request, I passed it to them, and they say, no, we received the same. All the correspondence you receive will receive it. You don't have to go to these places. You don't have to go. You know, we are handling the case. Plus, they lied to me, telling me that I was going to get a final judgment because, you know, my claim was not real, right? So They even gave me examples of another cases that were similar to mine. I went to the internet and looked for those cases. They had nothing in common with my case. Plus, in the judgment, I found that the judge says this person didn't attend three requests to attend a declaration on the oath. Plus, the public adjuster and the attorneys, they didn't provide an estimate of the damages to the insurance company. Never. I mean, they never gave an estimate of the damage to them. They came to my house, make an inspection, and to make it, they elaborated that estimate. So,
Louis, may I interrupt? I get the gist of it. The judgment was given, when was it? A couple years ago or when?
No, it was the end of 2011.
All right, so that's almost 4 years ago then.
Yes.
And that judgment was a final judgment that said, I, as the judge, feel that you lose, and that's it. They didn't have nothing. You can bring another lawsuit, you can amend, anything like that?
No.
Let me just finish. It's a tough case just because there's a judgment out there. What you might want to do is contact the Florida Department of Financial Services. I'll give you the website. It's called myfloridacfo.com. MyFloridaCFO.com, and they cover consumer complaints involving insurance policies. Okay. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Luis.
Thank you.
And next up, we've got Ben in Weston. Hello, Ben.
Yes, hello.
Hi, go ahead, Ben.
I almost forgot.
You almost forgot why you called, right?
Yeah, well, this is the first time I was in the car. Finally, I said, let me dial this number. All right, my name is Ben, and I live in Weston, and I'm a former police officer, investigator in NYPD, living down in South Florida. And I found out that things are pretty much not towards the consumer, and I found that out a little bit too late, meaning I already moved down here. I'll give you a case in point. A few years ago, I purchased a new Acura RDX from a local, huge, powerful dealer. I didn't know until I got the title a few months later that the car was actually registered before I bought it. And at the end of that, I did all kinds of investigations, motor vehicles, the attorney general, the local police department, where I knew I had to make some kind of a report first. And everything went to a dead end. Even local attorneys refused to take the case because they're probably afraid to open up a can of worms. So I learned over the years, being an identity theft victim twice in the last 4 years or so, and now I have to deal with the IRS PIN number every year and whatnot, I learned that the Attorney General of the state of Florida is a lot to be desired.
Ooh.
And I throw punches where they need to be. I've been like that all my life. I've called their office a number of times, and the number that you say, that number there is number one with a bunch of retirees and civilians. They deal with identity theft and this and that. And at the end of the day, they'll give you a song and a dance. This is what you should do to keep your identity safe, and blah, blah, blah. All nonsense that a person with a half a brain would understand.
Ben, may I interrupt just for a second?
Sure.
We've got a lot of calls, but I think what you said is that it wasn't titled properly. Is that correct, that your new car wasn't titled properly? Is that correct?
It was sold as new when it was already, it was a pre-owned car.
Okay, I understand.
Okay.
What you may want
to
do.
It wasn't hard to figure that out.
I understand.
It's done. Finally, I had to take matters into my own hands.
Okay.
And I settled for a
We need to get to some other callers who have specific questions.
The other thing is, if I were a reporter, I would not be afraid to go out and check out the Attorney General. What the hell are they doing for the consumer? They're not doing any sting operations. That's what I'm asking for, that they would do sting operations on these huge companies where they defraud the public all day long.
Brother,
see Help Me Howard on TV shows.
Ben, I agree with you. Well, Florida is known for a very, very pro-business state, and that's the way it is until the legislature changes. But I wish you good luck, and I hope you can work it out.
So, we need to take a break. But I just want to ask where Dade County ranks in consumer protection versus the rest of Florida and Florida versus the rest of the United States.
In terms of the number of things that are going on in Dade County?
Well, the actual protections for consumers.
I feel that we have some very good laws in the books, ordinances in Dade County, and Holly can refer to it. We were just discussing the unfair pricing stat ordinance. There's also one regarding any qualifications to any ad. For example, plus $69 tax or plus this or plus that, or you have to purchase two of these to get that. You'll see this constantly in the Miami Herald where there's this big, bold $99, and there'll be a little asterisk, and then you read way, way, way down all the qualifications. There's a big department store throughout the country that advertises on, I think, the third page of the Herald that has got a lot of that, and there actually is an ordinance that prohibits that. Holly, you take
Holly,
it from here.
Right, because per the ordinance, it's Section 88-110 of the Code of Miami-Dade County, Florida. Those sorts of contingencies, conditions, or limitations should be contiguous and conspicuous, and that the use of comparative font sizing is prohibited. So one of the more recurrent complaints our office receives is that there will be an advertisement, and the limitation is you must be a part of the Merchants Rewards Club, have their membership card, things of that nature.
How about a big $99 and a very small and up?
Well, that's the other thing. That's also the complete purchase. When you're advertising, the complete purchase price may be greater than $99. So and up should be contiguous, conspicuous, and not
in the same font.
Exactly.
And all savings may not be based on actual sales. A lot of companies do that. So is it a sale or isn't it?
We're speaking about consumer protection on Topical Currents. We'll be back and take more of your calls. Stay with us.
And we're back. It's Consumer Protection Day. Topical Currents at your service. Bonnie Berman, Joseph Cooper. And we're visiting with Miami-Dade County Consumer Advocate Holly Beth Billington and also Miami Attorney Michael Schiff. He practices consumer protection. And also, he's taught consumer protection law in colleges in the area.
Also a member of the National Association of Consumer Advocates.
Okay, and we have Susan in Miami Springs. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good.
I have a problem. I had my roof repaired, a new roof put on it. I paid the roofer, and now I find that I have a lien against my house from the roof supplier. And I've been advised that the way laws are written in Florida, this is perfectly legal. It doesn't matter that I paid my debt, that because the roofer didn't pay his, I'm still obligated.
For the roofing tile, yeah.
So you mean you paid him, but
paid
he didn't
roofer,
pay
the,
them?
The supplier.
Oh, my God. Okay, Michael.
Those are tough cases because the roofer, I imagine, is gone from the face of the earth that you've
No, he's still in town. And
what's his response?
In a minute, Mom. I'm going to pay him. I'm going to pay him.
I'm going to pay him in a week and all that. That's it. I mean, I'd rather you don't file a lawsuit against them because that's going to take a long time. What's the department that we were just discussing in a Metro-Dade government that handles that?
It would be part of the building division.
Building division. You might want to try contacting them, the building division in Metro-Dade County.
What's that? What's that information, Holly?
Well, it's either building DEPT or BLDGDEPT. I don't want to give the wrong
email address. If she just puts
email
in
address,
what in Google, then.
What she can just put in is she can just email us at consumer@miamidade.gov and we'll get her to the correct person.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Good luck.
Good
you might
luck
also
with that.
Want to try some of your municipal office holders, your mayors or city commissioners in Miami Springs to put pressure on people also.
You got
well,
it.
Well, the other part of it is if he's not working, he's not going to have the money to pay the debt.
Right.
And the way the law is written, how do I know that the supplier and the roofer really aren't partners in this? The roofer's been paid, and now the supplier will be paid as well.
And they have a lien on your house? That's legal?
Oh, yeah.
That's legal?
Oh, that's what I've been advised, yeah.
They
filed their paperwork properly, so I'm stuck.
I still would contact the building department and have them try to sort it out. It's free.
All right, excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay,
great
thank
show.
You. Good luck.
Bye.
Okay, and we'll move along to Betty in West Palm. We are getting kind of close to the end of the program, so we ask our callers to be brief. Betty, West Palm Beach, hi.
Hi, everybody. I lost the house 2002 under illegal fraudulent bankruptcy filed in my name without my knowledge. And then the credit reporting agency Experian went ahead and reported that bankruptcy even though I was borrowing money. I informed them, got nowhere, informed the police everywhere. The house was auctioned for $60,000 and then sold for $335,000. The bankruptcy court judge referred this for investigation. Nobody wanted to investigate it. I still go to court. I am not so sure. That person committed more crime, and they prosecute him. And I am a person nobody wanted to help me, no legal aid, nobody whatever. And I live really in very bad situation.
Mm. Okay, Betty, let's hear what Michael has to tell you.
I'm assuming this is identity theft or something else.
No, I think because I'm borrowing from this mortgage company, that mortgage company sent me a letter, you know, through the mail from the court. And my brother was deceased already, so I informed her. I said, no, I do have whatever. Well, how could you help people the last minute? She said, I have many attorneys. Just come and give me the money. I signed a retainer, and she told me this attorney going to represent me, but the bankruptcy filed in my name.
May I interrupt just for a second because I'm a bit confused. But
yes.
You have a bankruptcy attorney or you don't?
No, I hire this lady. She told me here's a retainer to cancel the sale because the sale was...
So you have an attorney right now on...
No, I don't have.
That would be the most... All right. That would be the best thing for you to do is...
Nobody wanted to represent me. Nobody.
I'm just trying while you were talking. I'm trying to think of a organization, an agency that would be able to help you. And I just can't. You got yourself into a situation that only an attorney would be able to unravel it. You might want to contact the Dade County Bar. They do have attorneys listed by, or let me give you, I told you about NACA.
The Florida Bar in Dade?
Or let me give you
West
a better
Palm.
One.
Well,
I know.
West
let
Palm.
Me give you another one. ConsumerAdvocates.org. Those are consumer protection attorneys throughout the state.
I don't have internet access. Is there any way I could reach them a different way?
Your library probably has internet access. You can do it that way.
What's the name again?
ConsumerAdvocates.org.
.org.
Okay. Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Betty, good luck.
Thank you.
And do we want to go to Mark?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit before we close about charity scams from our guests. Sometimes they really take advantage of people, again, in their emotions, and they use sympathy words like children and cancer, or if there's a disaster. How can you be sure that you're giving to a legitimate charity?
Holly, you know the website. I know there's one out there. I know the Florida Attorney. Is it the Florida Attorney General or the CFO who actually has a list of approved charities?
Right. And you can also go through the DOACS website. That's the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. They also have a list of approved charities. And they also give bulletins about charitable scams as well.
There you go.
Active ones.
All right. Do we no more time?
Well, we're very...
We have maybe 30 seconds for Mark, right?
Okay, let's see. That's line five.
Well, there was just one quick thing we didn't get a chance to touch on. I just wanted to get out to so members of the public know. Our office also administers the Miami-Dade County Wage Theft Program. When the wage theft ordinance was first passed, it was being administered by a different office, but now it's with Consumer Protection. So if you are a worker here in Miami-Dade County, regardless of where your company is headquartered, if you worked within the geographical boundaries of Miami-Dade and you worked and were not paid for that work, please contact our office for more information on how to pursue your claim for your unpaid wages.
They don't have to go to an employment attorney. They contact your office?
Can contact our office.
And once again, we want to stress that if you're in Broward or Palm Beach County or Monroe County, there are similar offices to the Miami-Dade Consumer Advocates Office.
Right, but our guests will be happy to direct you in the right way. I'm sorry, Mark, we don't have the time for your call.
Also, sorry to Joe and to Lewis and Kathy. We just ran out of time. We couldn't get to your calls.
Michael Schiff, an attorney practice in consumer protection and eminent law, and a member of the National Association of Consumer Advocates. That's consumeradvocates.org. Holly Beth Billington, an attorney and the Miami-Dade County Consumer Advocate. The website, miamidade.gov, and if you go to the left side, you'll see Consumer Advocate.
Consumer Protection.
Consumer Protection. And the website, and the email, consumer@miamidade.gov, the hotline, 786-469-2333. Thank you both for being with us.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having us.
And that wraps up today's edition. Again, our apologies to those callers we couldn't get to. It was produced by Richard Ive. Technical direction from online producer Paul Leary. Polly Landis is associate producer. As always, you can both hear and download the entire program at our website. That's WLRN.org. And we have more links, photos, and such at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow's Food and Dining program is an expanded edition. We'll take a full hour to discuss the often irritating instances of excessive noise in restaurants.
And excessive noise in general, and the harm it's doing to a fifth of teenagers today.
Some stem from poor acoustics in restaurants, but bitter complaints accompany loud and sometimes inappropriate music. Also, they do design restaurants to increase the sound level. Linda Gassenheimer has her ear to the ground, so to speak, with experts tomorrow. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.